I like that. I need four guys or four people. I don't care if they're guys. Hey, Glenn. He got you?
No, I got him.
He got the worst of it, right?
What are we handing
him? Okay. I want you and Rick to do these, okay? And then, yeah, we did it just right. Okay, now you two guys, they're like, there's three, and then three, and then three. Each person gets three. You see what I'm saying? It's a set of three, see? Except for mine is four. All right? So just go around and start passing them out. Let's see, did you start with... Yeah. Yeah, here. So do this. Like this. Okay. Now go make sure everybody gets a set of three. They're three in a row. They're three in a row. Got it? Yeah, there'll be three in a row, and you hand them to one person. Go to the next person and hand three in a row. You'll see. They're sets. Okay, you two guys have a seat over here a minute. We're not ready for you. You need your Bible and your whatever, because we're not... Just keep them with you. Keep them with you. Keep them with you, and I'll call you when it's time, okay? Because I think you're point six. Nope, you're point six. So until we get there... Okay. All right.
Because they're weird.
What do you mean?
Wait. So they're three in a row.
Three in a row. I should have had a woman do it. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it hard. Okay, watch. Three in a row, and you just do it with your fingers. If you do them wet, no, it's not messed up. Just go like this. Two. Three, see?
Man,
and then we start. And then we start over. Here, you help him.
Okay.
Take half his stack and help him. Here, here's some. Go help him. Get him out. Quick, quick. Let's go. Hey. Yeah. I know, but they're modified, updated. It's because God... Giving more. I can't even hardly wait. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. I am just like...
Oh, I thought you said remove.
No. Let me have it. Hello. I want to say something while that's being passed... While that's being passed out.
Hello?
Last week, I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. The devil does not want you to hear what Harvey is going to say. It is very powerful. Recognizing the spirits that deceive you. It's a dangerous subject. The enemy doesn't want you to get it. So, he is going to do things in Harvey's flesh to offend you. He's going to do things in your flesh to offend you. Like, this again, I've already heard this. Oh, Harvey, he keeps saying the same thing over and over. Oh, gosh, this isn't for me. Wandering, judging, bam, your mind shuts down and you'll get nothing. Harvey will say something to you that's offensive and you'll go, I don't need to hear him. These are tricks of the enemy to shut your ears so you do not receive. Receiving in the spirit, keep your spirit open. We're all human. Just give us all the gift of forgiveness. If you get offended, don't let it steal you. Your ability to hear God. Predetermine right now, I am going to be open today. I am going to hear. I'm going to hear God. I'm going to receive it in my spirit. And if Harvey does anything to offend me, I'm going to choose to forgive him immediately as a man. Open back up to hear him as a man of God. I am not going to let the devil shut my ears. If I'm too tired, if I'm judgmental, if I think I don't need to hear this, I am going to rebuke that idea. I will hear God today by choice. I want to hear this in my spirit. I really want to get it, God. I did that last week because, honestly, I've heard basics 2 million times in my near 40 years of Christianity. And I was thinking, I don't need to hear this. And God dealt with me, and I said, give me something. Give me something. And he opened up something during that sermon, and it was powerful. So don't think you know it all, okay? We don't. There's always something fresh if we're open in the Spirit with ears to hear. And remember last week, God said, who is blind as my servant? Who is deaf as my messenger? Oh, what a shame if we shut our eyes and ears to the Spirit and become blind and deaf messengers of God without a message.
Jesus turned his ministry over to imperfect people to reach imperfect people. Did anybody get that? Have you ever heard me say it's called the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival? If you're looking for just somebody to be polished, stand up front, be smooth, and everybody likes them, okay, you can find that other places. What I will ask you is it about them or is it about Jesus? Do you want them to be entertained, to feel good? Or do you want to hear what God has to say and walk with Jesus? Which do you want? Because that's your choice. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to read this first, and then we're going to go into it. That's fine. Okay. Note, did everybody get one of these? Did anybody not get one of these? Who did? Okay, you didn't get one. Where's the rest of them? Do me a favor. Sue didn't get one and Steve didn't get one. And they're updated. These were updated. You may have had them before, but these are updated. And you need a pen and paper. I mean, you need a pen because you're going to write. We got to change something in a minute, okay? But pay attention, okay? Listen to this very carefully. These steps to victorious and thorough deliverance from sin are a multitude of lessons and teachings. This isn't something you get one time, go home, I read over it, got it, done, let's move on. What's next? Entertain me with some more info, okay? The more of these truths that you own, not just hear, but own them, the easier it will be to walk with God in both peace and confidence. Would you like to walk in peace? Would you like to live in peace instead of trying to keep getting it again? Wouldn't it be neat to live there instead? And to have confidence with God? You have confidence with God so that when Harvey, even little Harvey, asks you a question, you don't have to hang your head and be ashamed. You can look me in the eyeball, confidence, knowing you're right with God, and answer me straight up instead of kicking the floor, looking around, feeling bad, feeling like a worm. You know, he caught me. You know, I'm talking about you having confidence with God. I'm talking about you walking with God in power, in peace, living in the presence of Jesus. This isn't about trying to keep a bunch of rules and be religious. This is about you and I living with Jesus and walking with Him the way He designed us. So I'm going to read this. These steps to victorious and thorough deliverance from sin are a multitude of lessons and teachings. The more of these truths, but He had me put it in an outline and then said, go back and teach this stuff. The more of these truths that you own, not just hear them. You see, when you say, I've already heard it, God gave me a little saying. When we say, I already know, we stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. So the little saying is, I already know stops the flow. I already know stops the flow. You say, I already know. You may know it here, but is it living in here? Is it so living and quickened and alive that you just, I mean, it's like life is bubbling inside of you through this truth and you want to share it with somebody? You've experienced deliverance in the life of Jesus? Then you don't own it if that's not happening in you yet. It's happening to me. I'm about to bust all the time with this stuff. The more of these truths that you own, not just here, but own them, the easier it will be to walk with God in both peace and confidence. The fruit of these teachings will cause each one of us to love Jesus far more than we do now, and to experience more fully His love and acceptance. Now, I'm giving you little suggestions of how for this to happen, and then we're going to get into it. But I'm telling you this, which normally would follow at the end, but I'm doing it now because that's the way I'm supposed to do it. Please read and reread these steps. Take these 19 points and go during the week and read them. Reread them. Pray them. Ask God to search you with the questions. Read and reread the Scripture verses. Pray these Scripture verses by, number one, turning them into questions. Number two, ask how each verse applies to you personally. Three, ask yourself if the truth in this verse is what you really want. I'll go back over them if you want. Then commit it to your God Jesus and ask Him to make it true in you. Religion is you trying to do it. Relationship is God doing it in you! I am so tired of religion. I'm so tired of people walking around thinking they're Atlas. Do you know who Atlas is? He's the guy that carried the earth on his shoulders. Dun, 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 dun. No. I got the whole world. Everything's terrible. I can't make it. The Christian life is so hard. It's only because you're doing religion. If you're carrying it, God's not. He didn't design you to carry it. He designed Himself to carry it. He designed you to be carried. He wants you to bring every need, every thought, every sin, everything to Him. And then He says, come here, wood to take. Climb up in my breast. Let me hold you, Jake. Oh, Jake, thank you. I designed you. You meet a need in my heart. This is God. You meet a need in my heart. He wants to carry you. It's all about relationship. It's about hanging out with Jesus. It's not about a bunch of rules. Oh, Jesus, I feel much better now. Then commit it unto your God Jesus and ask Him to make it true in you. Also, go over and meditate on your notes from these teachings. At church, make time for God and God-likeness. Make time. You won't find time. Turn the television off. Turn the heaven vision on, and then maybe you could see what God wants you to see. Are you with me? Does anybody need me to reread that we were? Yeah, okay, here we go. You ready? I'm just going to do it quick now. Please reread these. Please pray them. No, I'm only kidding. All right, you ready? Sorry. I'm sorry, I forgot we're in church. I forgot. No humor? Okay. Please read and reread these steps. James, it's always like this. Don't worry. Pray them. Pray these steps. Ask God to search you with the questions. There's questions on these 19 steps as part of the modification. Read and reread the Scripture verses. There's power. This is the Word of God. This Bible, this Scripture, does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. There is power in this Word. Please read and reread these steps. Pray them. Ask God to search you with the questions. Read and reread the Scripture verses. Pray these Scripture verses. How do you pray the Scripture? I'm glad you asked. 3 points. You ready? By turning them into questions. Take a verse and turn it into a question. Each verse you read, turn it into a question. Number 2, ask how each verse applies to you personally. God, how does this apply to me? For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. God, is it for me to live? Is Christ? Is my life about Christ? Do I see dying as gain? Why do you think when both those hitmen told me they were going to kill me, I said, go for it. You can't threaten me with Jesus. And they didn't know what to do, so they got saved. They both said, you're the only guy I ever met I couldn't kill. For to me, to die is gain. I'm looking forward to it. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Beam me up, Jesus. So kill me. Because I'm born again. You can't kill me. You can only kill this body, and it's not me. It's just what I'm living in. Like this house is just what I'm living in. I'm an eternal spirit. You can't kill me. For to me to live is Christ. Every breath is about Jesus. You know, I just had somebody accuse me of something this week. I don't know if it was an accusation. I just took it. I thought it was kind of funny. It was kind of like an accusation. Somebody said to me this week, well, you know him. I won't tell you who it is. But his initials are Eric, you know. And he said to me this week, he goes, you know, he said, all you do is Jesus. I mean, you know where Eric is this week, today, right now? He's in Wyoming, not the city, the state. And he's with about a half a dozen to 10 other people. And what they're doing is they're hiking. They're doing a 5-day hike, whatever you call it, a backpacking, that's it, through the Teton Mountains. Man, that is so cool. It's like hiking, you know. Nope, thanks, I can't do that. But something cool to me. And then when he leaves there, a bunch of them are going home. And then he and his brother-in-law are going up to the UP, eh? And his folks got a cabin up there, and his folks are up there, and they're going to spend another week up there. And Eric said to me this week, he said, you know, the only thing you do is Jesus. He said, that's your whole life. It's like the only thing you do is Jesus. I'm like, I know. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Oh, where were we? Ask how each verse applies to you personally. Ask yourself if the truth in this verse is really what you want. Do you really want what it says? Or are you just a Christian bobblehead? Is it really your choice? This is just homework to help you get out of what we're talking about here. Get stuff out of it so it lives in you. And you don't become a Christian encyclopedia full of knowledge. But that you actually live the Christian life. Then, after you do that, then commit it. Commit these questions, commit these verses, commit these thoughts, commit these choices unto your God Jesus and ask Him to make it true in you. Don't try to do it. Trust Him to do it in you. Ask Him to do for you what you can't do for yourself. If you try to do it, that's religion, and then you're going to walk around. If you're successful, you're going to be full of pride, and wonder why you have to struggle with pride so much. Because you're looking at yourself and you're thinking, I live by this set of rules and you don't. So I'm better than you. I'm successful. And then it's not about Jesus, is it? I'm sorry? And He doesn't get any honor, glory, praise, or credit, does He? And nobody's brought to Him. They're just repelled by you because you're so self-righteous and full of yourself. How do I know? Guilty. Guilty. See, I told you, I'm the best example of the sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. I'm not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the sinner that needs Jesus. See, if He could do something with me, man, to work with you is a pushover. God only probably needed one hand with you. He needed both with me. Full-time job here, Harv. High maintenance. Yes, Lord. He says, but you're worth it. Thank you, Jesus. Then commit it unto your God, Jesus, and ask Him to make it true in you. Also, go over and meditate on your notes from the teachings at church. Has anybody done that, Glenn, Roxanne? Has that helped you? So if we had a long testimony, if wow would be the condensed version, wow, cool. Okay, number one, what are the three goals at Burning Bush Church? I want somebody to give me one of them. What's the first one? What is it? To know Jesus personally. These are the three goals of this church. Okay? Number two. Okay, that's half the answer. So, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus. And number three, yes, Rick?
To love others to Jesus.
Do you hear that? To love others to Jesus. That's what this is about. This isn't about entertainment. This is about making you feel good. This isn't about so we can have a softball club and join a Christian, you know, a church league. Now, maybe all those things will happen. I don't care. Maybe we'll all go backpacking or something, you know, maybe around the block or something, you know, not too far. Somebody carry my backpack. It took me a long time to, you know, how do I keep this in shape if I go and do exercise? You know? Okay. Seriously. Okay. All seriousness. Okay. Point number two. Homework. I'm going to read you what I have given as homework so far. I want you to write it down. If you want to, you need a blank, you need a whole other sheet of paper, you know what I'm saying? Or write it in the front of your notebook. Are you ready? If you need a notebook, we'll get you one. Anybody needs one? Okay. I went to go buy them this week and they were out because they're on sale now. And so I always, every year when they're on sale, I go buy a whole bunch so that I can give them away to y'all. Okay. Homework. Let's see. Three chapters, reading three chapters a day. That's homework every day. That's from now on. You got homework. We're going to read three chapters every day in the Word of God. And then part of that is you want to have your notebook next to you and write down verses that stick out to you or you have questions, things you get out of it or questions. Okay? God bless you on purpose. Ready? Number two, pray about one to disciple. Have you done that? Have you prayed about God? Do you want me to disciple somebody? The best way to keep something is to give it away in God. It's the best way to keep something. You don't have enough money? Give it to somebody else. Do it God's way. Watch what God does. You can't outgive God. Okay? But pray about one to disciple, to help bring into being a disciple of Christ. Ask God, God, who do you want me to disciple? You could do that. Just being born again, or just getting out of the water. You can do that. Number three, write your own testimony. Write your own testimony. Bill gave his testimony. Roxanne gave her testimony. And I'm just waiting to hear the rest of them. Okay, write your own testimony. Now, in your testimony, you need to have the DBR, death, burial, and resurrection, and info, or verses that would help others to come to Christ. When you're writing your testimony, where's the death, burial, and resurrection in your testimony? What in your testimony is going to help others come to Jesus? Are you just going to say, I went to church and somebody preached, what they preached, I don't know, and they gave an altar call and I went forward and something was happening in my heart, was happening, I don't know, and I went forward and somebody led me in a prayer. What was the prayer? I don't know, but I prayed it and they told me if I prayed this prayer, I'm going to heaven. Well, if you want to go to their heaven, do what they say. But if you want to go to God's heaven, what does the Scripture say? You follow me? So, I'm just challenging you. I'm not saying you didn't get saved. I'm just saying, ask God to search you. God had to do this with me. Okay? Because I gave my testimony for a long time, but it wasn't like I give it now. God said, is your testimony just to entertain people? Because I can tell them about being a drug dealer and having hair down the waist, earring made of $1,000 with a PCP in my pocket, going door to door, asking somebody to tell me how to get to Jesus. And it's all exciting and all that, but it's like, does that get somebody to Jesus? What gets them to Jesus? Death, burial, resurrection. That's the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. Did you just see it in the water? Death, burial, resurrection. Did you just see it? Were you looking? I saw it. That was way back here. You ready? Homework. Pray Psalm 139, 23 and 24 every day. Who does that? Stand up. If you're praying Psalm 139, 23 and 24 every day, would you do that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. Look at that. 7. Perfect number. Y'all sit down. Come to me afterwards because I got a star for you, okay? I want to give you a star. Okay? And you think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. God said, do it. He said, they're anointed. I thought it was just silly. And He said, it's not silly, Harv. He said, this is like of me. Okay? You're getting a star from Jesus. Okay? Answer questions. Here's two questions that we're supposed to answer. This is homework. Who is Jesus Christ? And this isn't a fill-in-the-blank. This is an essay. Okay? I mean, you can do a fill-in-the-blank. Yes, He's God. And you can stop there. Or, who is Jesus Christ? Okay? What do you know of Him? Who is He to you? What does the Scripture say about Him? Is He just God? Yeah, He's just God. Now, is God like... Can you explain God like real simple? Yeah, you can, to put the cookies on the bottom shelf for the kids. But is God like bigger than that? Is there like more to Him? What do you know about Jesus? When Kate and Jonathan, when we pronounced them man and wife, they knew each other before they got married, but I bet they know each other even more now. They spent more time, got to know even more about each other. Well, what do you know about Jesus? Number two, the question is, who am I without Jesus? Who am I without Jesus? And another one, homework, memorize Romans Road. Romans 3, 10 and 3, 23. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Is this a training center for ministers? Are you called to be a minister? Okay, let's quit pussyfooting around and let's have homework and let's get it done. Okay, we can charge tuition. Or, you want me to go over them again? I will. Okay, you ready? Romans Road. Okay, now moving on. Only kidding. Romans Road, chapter 3, verses 10 and 23. Chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 6. Verse 23, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And that's a skeleton outline. Now later we'll learn John's journey. We'll learn Hebrews Highway. We'll learn Isaiah Interstate so you can deal with Jews. Okay? All right? But right now we'll just start with Romans Road. We're just getting stuff under our belt. I can't wait to give you everything God's got, but God says you got to get this first. We got to have something to build on. Okay? Yeah? I can't hardly wait. Memorize. Remember back in January, God had me ask you to memorize James 1:22? Did you do it? James 1:22. Okay? Somebody have that verse memorized? Somebody have that verse memorized? Yep. Stand up. Say it, please. So you can get a star.
but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Dude, let me give you a star. Hang on. Awesome. You get a green star. Look at this. Where do you want your star?
Put it right, right in
there. Oh, right. How about there? How about there? I like it. So excited. Okay. Now, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is what you're going to memorize. James 4, 7 and 8. Did somebody memorize that? Did somebody have James 4, 7 and 8 where they memorized the whole thing? Huh? You got a star last week memorizing for saying that? I know you did. Thank you, Tommy. Who else? You did? Okay, come on. Stand up. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit.
Submit yourself, therefore, unto God.
Resist.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Awesome. Bring your books. I'll give you a star. You're doing really good. Y'all are doing really good. I'm so excited. I can't hardly wait. So excited. Where do you want it? Right here. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, let's get started with the lesson. Oh, by the way, you got your little papers here? Point number one, the question. We need to do some modifications. So get your pen. Get ready. Are you ready? I know, but we're going to do the homework in just a second. Thank you for reminding me. Because we got... And there was one other homework, wasn't there? Yeah, and I gave you homework last week. Does anybody remember, besides Janiyah, does anybody remember what that homework was last week? Yeah, Romans 7, what? 11 through 24, or something like that. And what was the homework? To read it. To change those words to spirit and flesh. Every time it said me or I. That I would do, I do not. That I would not do, that do I. I find that a law in my members that when I would do evil or good, evil is present with me. Okay. So, why don't you... Well, we're going to do that in a minute, okay? Just remind me after we do this. Did you do your homework? All right, little girl. Here we go. Number one, the question should say, am I willing to see, cross out our and put my? Did you hear me? Got a pen? You need a pen? Yeah. We can't do this without a paper. She doesn't have one. Who else? Who's got the papers? Thank you so much. I'm sorry. My fault. Okay. We don't help anybody to Jesus by pointing at them. Okay. Besides, look at that hand of yours. Won't mention any names, Spencer. But look at that hand of yours. How many fingers are pointing back at you? Okay. Point number one, the question, am I willing to see, cross out our, my sin? Point number two, has God revealed this sin? Point number three, are you ready? Are you there? Am I going too fast? Are you ready? Point number three, do I admit this sin, and then put a little line out and say, is in me? Do I admit this sin is in me? Jump down to point number, I think it's eight. Point number eight. The question. Okay, before we get to the words that are printed, it says this. Do I admit that I? Do I admit? Do I admit that I, and then can't get free by myself? Do I admit that I can't get free by myself? Do you need a pen? Oh, you're fine. Okay. Point number nine. See how it says Jesus is my only help? Cross out the word is and put is before Jesus. Is Jesus my only help? I asked God, why didn't you show me these? He said, because I wanted them to all write them down. So I just hid it from you until after you printed them. I love it. Point number 10. Are you ready? At the beginning of the sentence, have I, and then asked, add an ED to the word ask. Have I asked Jesus? Do you need a pen? Okay, we'll make sure. Point number 11 starts off with, have I asked? ED to ask. Have I asked Jesus to remove the root of this sin? Point number 12. Start the sentence off with, do I want Jesus to, T-O, pour His blood inside? Point number 13. Have I thanked, E-D, have I thanked Jesus? Am I going too fast? Y'all got it? What was 12? Do I want Jesus to pour His blood inside? Point 13, have I thanked Jesus? Point 14, have I committed unto God for change? Point 15, next page I think it would be for y'all. What? It's on the bottom? Okay, we'll call it on the bottom. Have I broken? Cross out the word break. Have I broken Jesus? I feel like I'm being broken. The heat. 16. Have I confessed before others? Point 18. Have I realized? And point 19 is, do I have Father's mind and heart about this? Oh, I'm so excited. God bless you. Some people just want to be blessed and so they come sneezing. That's cool. Three goals, homework, front cover, read. Okay, Janaya. Homework from last week. Okay, we're going to do this. Romans chapter 7. Please open your Biblia. This is for the Spanish-speaking folks. Or you could call it Scripture. Romans 7. 11. Romans chapter 7. We'll start with verse 11. Romans. Say what, babe? Okay. How about if I read it out loud and you tell me what the words are supposed to be? Okay. Romans 7, 11. Are you there? Romans 7. Verse 11, we're going to read through verse 24. We're going to change the word I in me to either spirit or flesh. Let's see if we all agree as we go. You ready? For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived my flesh, and by it slew... Well, I think both of them are spirit. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived... Actually, you're right. It deceived my flesh, and by it, it slew my flesh. You're actually right. I was wrong both times. Good for you. Okay, verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy... Now, if anybody says I'm a know-it-all, did you just notice I missed it twice? Good. Okay. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto... Actually, it was death unto my spirit because it killed me. It kept me away from God. It took away my life, my peace, my joy, the power, the presence. Okay? God forbid, wasn't that which is good made death unto my spirit? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in the flesh. See, I missed it again. By that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. Do you know, I heard a preacher say one time, you might want to write this down. It's a little saying, And if you ever get it, it will really help you. All these little nuggets are like bits of light that help make your way so clear. Either sin will keep you away from this book, or this book will keep you away from sin. Either sin will keep you away from the Scripture, or the Scripture will keep you away from sin. Because when you start reading the Word, it's going to change everything. It starts bringing light to everything. You just can't keep going on acting like, oh, I didn't know. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I, flesh, am carnal, sold under sin. For that which the flesh would do, the Spirit would allow not. See, my spirit doesn't want to do it, but the flesh does it. For what the Spirit would do, that does the flesh not. I want to do right, but my flesh won't cooperate. But what Spirit hates, that does my flesh. If then the flesh does that which my Spirit would not, my Spirit consents on the law that it is good. See, what happens is, here's what God's telling us. Inside, when you're born again, you have the desires of God. You want to please God. Okay? But your flesh is strong, and what we have to do is learn to mortify or bring to death this flesh. Because as we live in the Spirit, we mortify or bring to death the deeds of the flesh. Do you understand? Am I making this hard? Let's see if Carson gets it. Come here, Carson. Very quick. Quick as a bunny. What do we say, Sarah? Quick as a bunny and... Don't be funny. Hurry. Okay, so here's what happens. When somebody's born again, okay, and they meet Jesus, then He gives them His heart, His desires. And they want to do what God wants. But their body wants to go against God, and they find themselves in a struggle. Inside, they want to please God, but outside, they find themselves with their daily choices not pleasing God, right? Does that make sense? You get it? Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is, we're just talking about the problem right now. In a minute, we're going to talk about the solution, which is Jesus and living in the Spirit. You got it? All right. So, how old are you, Carson? I am so glad. Thank you. Okay, so we got it down. A 7-year-old got it, okay? Did you get it? If not, I'll take time. Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm just trying to make sure everybody gets it. You got it. We have a problem. And the problem is, when we're born again, see, before we're born again, we don't even want to do the things of God. We may go to church because somebody brought us up to go to church. We may go to church because that's where our friends go. We may go to church because for all kinds of reasons. People go to church to get business. I run into them almost every day. They're not in church for the right reason. They're in church for other reasons. Okay? But when somebody's born again, God says, I'm going to take out of you that heart that's not after me, and I'm going to give you my heart. Are you with me? Whew. Man. Jesus. Is there a higher one? Thank you. Stand here. You need to move. Hey. Okay. How am I going to make sure I got it down on the lower level? Oh, so if Glenn gets it, anybody? Okay. I got it. Okay, that's the standard. All right. All right. Little Glenny. If little Glenny gets it. All right. So, when we get saved, when somebody is truly born again, see, there's people in this room that you're not sure if you're really born again, and others around you aren't sure either. Just to be honest. Okay? Are you with me? When somebody is truly born again, somebody had to come to a place to where they realized, I am a sinner responsible for my sin, and there's nothing I can do about it. No matter how hard I try, I can't fix it. There's nothing I can do. It's not me joining a church. It's not me getting baptized. It's not me praying a prayer. Because all those things you could do and they leave you empty. What it is that's when you come to a place, when you're dealt with by the Spirit of God, you'll come to a place to where you realize there's nothing I can do to save myself. And that's when you see Jesus on the cross. That's when you see Jesus and realize Jesus is God. Jesus took on flesh, took on a body, so He could become one of us and become our substitute. And that's when you call out to God for mercy. Please don't let me get what I deserve. And you realize He's dying for you. You see, He died for everybody. Jesus is available to everybody, including the Muslims, anybody. But He's only applicable to the individual that comes to God realizing their need of Him dying on the cross for them. When that happens, God does this surgery. And He takes out of you, the Bible says, a stony heart. And then He gives you His heart. And now all of a sudden, that's why one of the questions I like to ask people when they tell me they're born again, I say, what changed in you at the day of salvation? You might want to write that next to when you're giving your testimony. What changed in me the day of my salvation? I just heard Roxanne say it. You know, Rick, Roxanne, the one that used to say, I don't need anybody. They're all S people. Okay? But when she met Jesus, all of a sudden she found herself loving other people. She couldn't believe it. I don't even like that person and I find myself loving them. Because when God comes to live inside of you, God is love. And then He just starts loving other people through you and you don't even get it. You're like, I don't get it. I didn't even like this person yesterday. And now I find myself loving them because God is in you loving them. That's just one of the things. That's why I have people read 1 John. Because that is a telltale sign of getting saved, is that you find yourself loving people. You find yourself loving the things of God, and you didn't love them before. So we're in verse 17 of Romans chapter 7. Are you there? Now then, it is no more my spirit that does it, but sin that dwelleth in my flesh. Verse 18. For I know that in my flesh, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. In other words, to want to do right is present in my spirit. But how to perform that which is good, my flesh finds not. For the good that my spirit would do, my flesh does it not. But the evil which my spirit would not do, that my flesh does. Now, I'm finding myself right in the middle of a mess. I'm in a tug of war. Now if my flesh does that my spirit would not do, it is no more my spirit that does it, but sin that dwelleth in my flesh. Verse 21. My spirit finds then a law that when my spirit would do good, evil is present with my flesh. Verse 22. For my spirit delights in the law of God after the inward man. But my spirit sees another law in my members, my flesh, warring against the law of my spirit. And brings me, because it's warring against my spirit. I got that one right. And brings my flesh into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my flesh.
It brings my spirit into captivity, right?
Doesn't
it bring my spirit into captivity? Because my flesh is making wrong choices.
That's right.
Sorry.
verse 24. Oh, wretched man that my flesh is, who shall deliver me from this body of death, or the body of this death? Now, verse 25. My spirit thanks God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, my spirit serves the law of God, but with the flesh, that's because it says it, the law of sin. Phew. You did real good. You did better than me. Can I get a star out of there? Here, just, I get a star right in the beginning. I got to get these stars. Oh, there they are. Oh, I'm so excited. Give you a blue star. Where is this blue star? Here we go. Where do we want to put it? By the homework. Okay, here we are. You ready? The homework that we've given, who's done homework? Anybody done any of the homework that we did? Yes, okay. Yes? No? Huh? Reading the three chapters? Who's reading the three chapters every day? Stand up. Stand up. You know. You just know. This is just so cool. Jesus is just... Yes, sir? Well, you're going to have to give your own stars. God didn't tell me to give them stars for attendance. Yeah. God didn't tell me that where.
Here. Do it on the front cover. Maybe.
Come on. Where? Here? Okay. I am so pleased with you. You know, I can't say I'm proud of you because there's no such good thing as pride. Pride is never good. God never says He's proud. God condemns pride. So I am very pleased with you. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him, Jesus said. God said about Jesus, Matthew chapter 3, I believe it's about verse 17. Where are we? Here? Congratulations, baptized brother. All right. Now, Steve-O. Personal convert. Steve-O. Where do I put it, Steve-O? Where? Here? I didn't hear what you said. Okay. All right, class. All right. Here we go. All right. Does anybody, what we're going to do is, does anybody have homework, those strings that we wrote off? Anybody have homework where you've done that? I only want one of each one, if you have that. But if you've done it, I'm going to give you a star. You can come see me afterwards and you tell me which one, and I'll give you a star. But I'm going to, anybody, the three chapters we just did. Someone, have you prayed about one to disciple and you know who that is? Has God already given that to you? Okay, Glenn, come see me, and we'll get you one, okay? Write your own testimony. I gave you one and Bill, right? Okay. Anybody else write their testimony? Have it written out? Okay, I want you to do that. Pray Psalm 139. We talked about that. And you're going to come see me, and I'll give you one afterwards, right? 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 Can't hear your head rattle. Right? Okay. All right. See, people don't know what you're thinking. So just open your mouth. Just let it all hang out, you know. Pray three prayers on the church card. Did we write that? Hey, that's one of the homework things. Pray the three cards on pray the three prayers on the back of the church card, and then designate God time, at least 30 minutes each day, to just sit down with Him and tell Him, here I am. I want to know You. Come invade me. Come talk to me. Come love me. I'm here for You, God. I'm just setting aside time. I'm giving You time to come talk to me, love me, whatever. Sorry? Gave some away. Good. Good for you. All right. Answer the questions. Did anybody answer the questions? More than one word. Who is Jesus Christ? Who am I without Jesus? Anybody do that homework? Okay. This is homework for next week. Okay. Memorize Romans Road. We did that years ago, didn't we, dear?
I
know. You know, I think, how old were you? Six? When you, I think she was six years old when she brought her first person to Jesus, and she read the whole New Testament by the time she was seven, I think, right? Anyway, that is so cool. I'll give you a star for that. Just come and get me afterwards, okay? And then memorize James 1:22. If you didn't get a star yet, come see me. And James 4:7-8. If you didn't get a star, come see me afterwards, and I'll give you a star. Okay? Whew, I feel much better now. Are we ready? All right. Does anybody have a testimony? Salvation, breakthroughs, things you've seen in your reading, things that stood out, things that you want to share. Anybody have a testimony? Yeah, right now. Okay. I was looking for how about this one? Nope, you don't have to stand.
Well, last week we were supposed to have church in our house because we do that most weeks. And right before, I don't know, it was like 10 o'clock, Tempe had like a meltdown, a really bad fit, and she was just like melting down. And I was like asking God, like, why she was so full of anger and, like, just trying to, like, I felt like I was supposed to, like, just go in the room and just hug her and love on her. And I was, like, praying for her, and she was, like, snuggling up to me. And then we started to pray like we do. You know, I only want Jesus living in me. And she was, like, really full of attitude saying the words, but it was, like, I only want Jesus! You know, she was really, like, angry about it. And I'm, like, you know, where's all this anger coming from? And I felt like God said, like, it came from you. Like, because you have a lot of anger inside of you. And if you don't get rid of it, then you can't get her free. So you keep trying to, like, get her to kick it out, but you have it in you. And then you get angry with her, and it just rises back up in her. And I kind of felt like somebody had just, like, kind of kicked me in the gut, you know? And I called Mom, and I said, I can't do church today. I need you to come. I have nothing. I don't have anything to give my own kids, let alone, like, anybody else, you know? I, like, kind of suck. And she said, I don't think I'm supposed to come. I think you're supposed to be here. Which kind of just threw everything into a whirlwind, since by then it was like 10:45 or something. And so I told everybody, well, I'm not having church, so go over there. And so I jumped in the car with Rebecca, and we came. And I just came in, and it was like, I have nothing, and I can't come and be around people, because I just felt like somebody basically, I mean, I know God wasn't telling me I was a bad mom, but like the devil took the opportunity to say, hey, look, here's a flaw, and you really, you know, have failed. And she's only three, you know? And so I just kind of like went and hid under the blood at the cross and like buried myself and said, I'm not coming out until something changes, because I can't do that. How do I go and be with other people if I can't even give love to my own kids properly, you know? And so, like, while I was under there, like, God started, like, telling me, just look at verses that have about anger and start, like looking at them and seeing what it says. And so I started doing that, and then just, like, praying, like, through, like, asking God to forgive me and forgiving myself for anger and just choosing to forgive the people that I've been angry with in my life for whatever reason, starting with my dad, because, you know, he had anger a lot when I was little, and then, you know, we didn't know how to go through the forgiveness thing like we do now with the kids, like to forgive the people that are in authority that do things wrong, you know, and handle things wrong. Like, we tell our kids all the time what screw-ups we are and that we need their prayer because we can't do it, you know. Dudley and I are always like, we're not really the best parents, and we need you guys to pray for us, you know, because we're screwing up all the time. But like, we didn't know how to pray through that when I was little, so I just built up a lot of anger, and then it comes out at my kids, and when they do the stuff that I probably did that made my parents mad. So God was, like, taking me through that and, like, saying, you're not a bad mom. You just have a lot of anger, and you need to, like, forgive and get forgiven and pour love instead of anger on your kids. And, like, I just felt like that was really awesome, and, like, and I have noticed, like, through the week, like, with Tempe, like, every time that her anger starts up, like, if I will be able to pray and be, like, coming in the opposite spirit with, like, softness and love, that I can see her, like, melting. And like, but if I like respond quickly with like, stop, you know, I start to get upset, like you can see like that anger just like rise up inside of her, you know, and it's really awesome to see the difference. Like when I can step back and say, I need help in this, I can't do it, you know, because my flesh would respond with anger. But God's like wanting to just like love her out of that, and so that's what he wants to do with me, and it's kind of cool to see that.
Awesome. Awesome. Imagine being God, and you look down at two of your children. One over here is saying, I'll do it myself. I don't need your help. I'll try to straighten up. I'll try to deal with this. And the other one is saying, I can't do it. I need you to help me. Now, imagine God. Which one do you think his heart is drawn to? One needs help. One says, I don't need help. I'll do it myself. What do you think that does to the heart of God? Breaks his heart. Doesn't make him mad, angry, disappointed. See, you can only have disappointment if you have expectation. God doesn't have expectation. He just has desire. That's a key that you need to own to get freedom with God. That's a key you need to own. See, people put expectation on us and then they're disappointed. That's why they put manipulation, guilt, pressure, burden, try to control us, try to persuade us. That's why they hold us. Because they have expectation. Because they're trying to get their needs met through you. See, they're hurting. They're needy. Jehovah Jireh means need meter. God is bigger than any need you have. He's the only one who can meet your need. I need to be loved. Then you need to be guided. And if you're trying to get it from a person, you won't be able to get everything through them. God will make sure, because He is a jealous God. He wants to be your first love. Anybody ever heard that before? Does that ring true in anybody? This is a key, huge key, that will set you free. Over here, just give you a bunch of keys. We're a key store. Just give you a bunch of keys. Because with the key, you have freedom. When you don't have the key, you're all locked up. Okay. What we want to do is example steps to victorious and thorough deliverance from sin. So these 19 points, you see, for me to get forgiveness with God, it is so simple. I get forgiveness within seconds. And I just walk free in God all the time. But most of y'all don't. And that's why God has me doing this. And when God months ago was having me do this 19-point outline, I'm like, Lord, it's not this complicated. It's so simple. And He said, that's because you know the truths in these 19 points. They don't know the truths. So they could come and ask me forgiveness, but still walk around in guilt and shame and no power. Why? Because you don't understand these things. That's why you need to go over these. That's why there's so many teachings that go with it. If you look on this outline that we handed out, I'm going to go through this, not the whole thing, but I'm just going to go through a couple of points real quick because I want you to see something. We have to be willing to see our sin. You see, you got to understand, you were made in the image of God. I've said this many times, but as somebody said yesterday, when you get it, I can quit repeating it. We can move on. Okay? But it goes like this. Okay? You and I were made in the image of God. But because we had sinful parents, dogs bring forth dogs and cats bring forth and little cats and sinners bring forth sinners. You see, you don't have to teach that little guy that comes out to shoot to lie, to be selfish. But as soon as you change him, feed him, Eeyore or Winnie the Pooh quit spinning, you know, got them spinning over their head, and you sneak out of the room, as soon as they realize you're not there, what do? Hey, I'm in charge. Doesn't everything revolve around me? Why aren't you here picking me up, doing what I want? Give me what I want, or I'm going to make your life miserable. Because I'm God. They come out of the chute that way because they came from a sinner. We're all born sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. You have the seed of an apple tree, you bring forth apples. You're not an apple tree because you bring forth apples. You were an apple tree before you brought forth apples, but you bring forth apples because you have the heart of an apple tree. Do you get what I'm saying? Because we have the heart of a sinner, we bring forth sin. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. There's another key. Write it down. It will set you free. Ask God to help you own that. Ask Him to reveal the stinking thinking inside of you that's contrary to truth. Now, you ready? We have to be willing to see our sin. Yesterday, I'm sorry I'm doing this a little different than what we talked about, but I just feel like I'm supposed to, and you gave me permission, and you should have known I'm going to go further. But I said, yesterday God had me confront Him. Brother, I'm praying for you, and every time I pray, God just keeps showing me this sin of yours. It's like jumping up in my face. And I want to bring it to your attention. Not because I'm mad at you, not because I'm trying to fix you or straighten you out. I'm praying for you and my heart is grieved because I see this sin is deceiving you. It's controlling you. It's taking you in a direction away from God, away from life, away from peace, alienating you from the people of God and the life of God. Motivation. When you see something, begin to pray for the person first. Lay your life down for them. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Look that up when you have a chance. Not now. But look at the first few points. We have to be willing to see our sin. Are you willing to see this? Yes, I am. We need God to reveal this sin and these spirits. Are you willing? Yes, I am. Okay, number 3. Admit to ourselves that this sin and these spirits are in us. Can you see these are in you? I don't know. Go ahead and keep talking. I will. Okay? And so as I kept talking, God's like, began to open His little peepers. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. See, He's been realizing the fruit of this in His life for a long time. The results of this Antichrist spirit, excuse me, controlling Him, taking Him where He doesn't want to go. He's going, why am I doing this? Why do I feel this way? It must be me. It's not Him. It's an intrusive spirit. It's colored His whole life. You see, when Jesus sets you free, watch. I'm setting Rick free from sight. Now he can't see because I took away his glasses. Do you understand? I just set him free from sight. Now he's blind, see? He can't see anything. But when he has his glasses on, now he can see clearly. When Jesus sets us free, are you with me? Before Jesus sets us free, we're seeing like this. See, I can see Patty through this, but I don't have a clear vision. When we are seeing through an Antichrist spirit, we are blinded. There are things we do not see. We're seeing through rose-colored glasses. Do you understand? We are in deception, and we don't even know it. People around us that walk with God, even the people around us that don't walk with God, the ones that are afflicted by your sin, they know it. By the way, here's another key. You're the last one to see your sin. When you finally see it, you're hoping nobody else does. They've already seen it! You're the last one! Admit to ourselves that this sin and these spirits are in us. Ask Father to help us recognize and name our sin. That's where I'm going to... So, let's do this, okay? Because what I want you to understand, I want to walk you through this. See, what sin is that you deal with that's had you for a long time? See, for a long time, this is how he thought he was. He just thought, that's me. I'm just negative. Doesn't everybody see things this way? He's pessimistic. He's cynical. You know? It's like, doesn't everybody see things this way? He thought it was him. But it was spirits that had deceived him to make him think it was him. But it's not him. Do you understand? You are not sin. Spirits are living entities. They are fallen angels. They are real beings. Just like you're a spirit being in a body. But they're a spirit being looking for a body that they can live through. Do you understand? I know you don't understand it all, but as we go through, you will. Hopefully, if you want to. So why don't we just run through this or walk through it or whatever, okay? So Jesus, I'm willing to see my sin. And Lord, there's sins of... I need you to help me to name and recognize them, and I believe that they are those three we've named. Being pessimistic, cynical, and negative. And I partnered with them, and they came and deceived me. But then I made an agreement and let them live inside me, because the only power they have is to deceive me or to bring a thought to me. And you give me a free will. You said, we are little gods. We get to choose. We're over a world called our life. And we get to choose who's going to live in us. And I chose to agree with them. Maybe because I thought that's the way I was supposed to be from what my mom exampled. Maybe out of protecting myself. And they deceived me saying it would protect me. But somehow I didn't just sin, I partnered with these evil spirits and I've let them live in me so much so that I thought it was me. And I don't want them living in me anymore. That's my choice. I break agreement with them right now. I want to submit to God, resist the devil, tell you I don't want you having anything to do in my life anymore. And now I'm turning to you, Jesus, and I love it that the Word says you're going to turn to me.
Amen.
Now, Jesus, I understand that this is like a root that has this seed. There was somewhere I took this seed thought in and I let it grow inside of me. I gave it free rein and cooperation and watered it and allowed it to grow. So it's now a big, thick root down inside of me. And I'm asking you to reach in there, Jesus. You're the Savior. You are my Savior. And I'm asking you to grab that root by the neck and to pull it out along with the seed. And all the tap roots, all the feeder roots that come off of it, that go throughout my whole body and have colored my whole life, my whole thinking, and all my choices. And I don't want them in me or any influence of them in me anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Now I have a deep V inside of me where that root of sin has lived all this time in my life. I'm asking you, Jesus, as I've confessed my sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am asking you to fill that V, that deep V in my life, fill that V with your blood. Pour it in on the right side as I've confessed and that you would forgive all my sin, and then pour it in on the left side and cleanse me, continue to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then when you get it up to the top, I am asking you to fill and top off this V with your blood so that I am complete in you. No space for the devil. Now, Jesus, you're the only one who can change me. I can't change me. I'm just telling you, I don't want the enemy living in me. I want you living in me. And I thank you for your blood. And I'm sorry that I caused your pain. I'm sorry I caused your beating. I'm sorry I caused you to be rejected and spit on. And that crown of thorns, we have one in the other room. I can't even hardly touch one thorn. And you had the whole thing crammed in your head. You were beaten. You were stripped in front of everybody. You were hung up as if you were rejected, like suspended between earth and heaven as if neither one wanted you. You were made a ridicule and a reproach and a curse all because of me. And I am so sorry for what I've caused. And Jesus, I thank you so much for loving me and just looking down through time and saying, Harvey, you're worth it. I'll do it for you. Now, Jesus, Father, as things come back in my mind, because now I've given you permission and you've delivered that, but there's effects from those sin being in me. There's thoughts, there's memories, there's times where I enjoyed the results of those sin. If it was lust, I enjoyed having lust outside of you. You know what I mean? Like impure sexual relations or thoughts or anything like that. And whatever it is, if it's like being negative, I enjoyed that while it lived in me, and I have memories. And as you bring them back to me, I choose to bring them under the blood of Jesus. I ask you to grant me true, deep, full repentance. I want to break agreement with every one of them and say, God, I was so wrong for enjoying them. I was so wrong for choosing them. I was so wrong for hating or lusting or lying or thieving or whatever it is, being negative, cynical. Lord, as you bring them to me, remind me, Holy Spirit, of that these are results of this sin and these spirits that I just kicked out. And I want to bring myself under the blood of Jesus, ask you to forgive me, and ask you to help me see it through your eyes. And I make a choice to say I was wrong for enjoying them and living in them and cooperating with them. And I ask you to forgive me. And I realize what the pain and the hurt that I caused you, the breaking your heart, the rejecting, the turning my back toward you, the self-righteousness. And I ask you to forgive me. And I want to bring every one of them so that you get all, not just the sin out of me, but the influences of it. And I want you to bring me to true, deep, full repentance. Not some shallow repentance.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Lord, help me to remember, because I'm committing this into your hands. I can't do it. It's not just changing my actions, behavior control. I'm asking you to give me a heart change. Now, I can't do it. I'm inviting you to do it. And I'm turning to you and saying, I am totally dependent on you. I can't do it at all. And I'm so glad that you want to do it for me, Jesus. And I am totally dependent on you. Teach me how to depend on you. Teach me how to not walk in pride and self-dependence, but which is independence. But to be dependent upon you, to trust instead of trying, to rest instead of running in my own strength. Teach me how to depend on you and realize that it's your job. You're the Savior. You're the Deliverer. And I'm trusting in you, not in myself. Amen. Amen. We're good. We're done. I mean, we're not good, but whatever the word is. Anyway, that was awesome. Thank you, brother. Now, I feel like I was supposed to read this. Note, these devilish spirits are now outside of us, not in us. Remember, we're like a house. We kicked them out. You ever had somebody living with you and you wanted them to leave and you couldn't figure out how to get them out? But when they got out, you didn't even ever want to let them in again, did you? Not even to visit. Do you know what I'm talking about? These devilish spirits are now outside of us, not in us. They will come back. Listen to me. But they don't have any power. Just like if I had a guy one time, and I did not want him to work for me. And God said I couldn't fire him. And so he stayed for longer than I wanted. And finally, he got a better job, he thought, and he quit. He came to me and said, I have this better job, and I said, please take it. But I honestly, that was what was best for him by what he told me with the light that they gave him. They lied to him, but he left. 3 days later, he realized it's not like what they told him. Okay? You ready? He came back and said, will you hire me again? It's not, oh no, oh no, oh no. You can't come back in. Oh no. My point is, these devilish spirits are now outside of us, not in us. They will come back. They're used to living in us and living their way through us. They're used to us cooperating with them. You have a choice. God will make you more aware of them because He's already granted you repentance. That's why you can't do this shallow thing. Do you understand? It's not just words. God's going to grant you repentance. That's why you got to go through this. That's why you need to understand this. That's why you need to understand every sin, every choice of agreeing with an enemy was you personally taking the hammer and nail and saying, let me have a swing at that. Do you understand? It's got to get real to you. God will do that if you walk your way through this. Okay? You have a choice. God will make you more aware of these spirits and their real identity as you understand these teachings and cooperate with the steps. That's why you need to reread them. This isn't a 1 week, we read it through, let's move on. Okay, I've heard it, Harv. But do you own it? Is it alive? Is it jumping in you? Like, is it like, are you living it? Are you finding it setting you free? Are you like this? Are so full of life and you just can't hardly stand it? Do you own it? Not have you heard it. You have a choice. God will make you more aware of them, their real identity, as you understand these teachings and cooperate with the steps. If one house guest is evicted and you fill his room with another, remember, I only want Jesus to live in me and to fill the rooms of my house, my life, then there's no room for another boarder or house guest. Do you get it? You get rid of somebody, you kick them out. We just kicked out the devil. Are you listening? Now they're out. Turn over to Luke 11 while we're talking. Luke 11. So you just kicked them out. Now you invite Jesus to come live in their place. Remember, the blood of Jesus filled the void? That's the life of Jesus. Do you get it? I want you to come and fill that void in me, Jesus. Then guess what? When the guy with the bad breath comes back, you tell him, even if I wanted you in, there's no room because it's all filled up with Jesus. I'm not kicking Jesus out to take you, bad breath. You get it? If one house guest is evicted and you fill his room with another, then there's no room for another boarder or house guest. Luke 11, verse 24 through 26. Somebody want to read that? Okay, I will. All right. Are you there? Oh, I'm there. Okay, you ready? Oh, that's Romans 7, 24. Somebody want to read that? Yes, you do. Go ahead, stand up. Luke 11, 24 to 26.
When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house once I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Do y'all have that written down? Luke 11, 24 to 26. You ever read that before? Wondered what that meant? Did we just give a clear picture? Serious. Did you just get a clear picture? You kick out the devil. You have Jesus come fill that space. Because if you don't, I dealt with a young man one time and he was full of Antichrist thoughts. And I challenged him to go to the computer. And that's what God told me to do. And see what the computer, what people on the computer had to say about that. He said, oh, ones that are in favor. But I said, how about ones that are against it? And ones that are against it, I said, print me out your study of what you find on the computer. He came back a week later and gave me 3 studies of papers this thick. And I said, what'd they say about it? They said they're against it. And I said, well, what do you say about it? See, I knew he had to make a choice, his own choice. He said, I'm against it too. I don't want it in me anymore. And immediately God said to me, now what are you going to fill that void with? He just kicked that spirit out. Now what are we going to fill his life with? Because if you don't give him something else, the devil will surely give him something else. You get it? And what it says is, if he doesn't fill that with God, that's why you don't just kick the spirits out of anybody. That's why we don't just pray healing over anybody. Everybody's healing is not because of sin. Okay? Read John 9. This man born blind, did he sin or his parents? Neither. It's not always because of sin. But sin does bring forth death. And before death, there's sickness. I'm sorry. It's like clear. Okay. But everybody, every time somebody's sick doesn't mean that they're in sin. But there's times that we go to pray for people and God says, do not pray for their healing because they are making choices for this sickness to live in them. That's why you can't just Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. You can't just pray for everybody anytime. See, a lot of people move out of their heart. Oh, I'm all emotional. Oh, I just want to help everybody. Oh, surely Jesus wants to deliver you. Yes, He does, but He wants to deliver you in truth. He doesn't want to kick out one spirit so they go get 7 more and now 8 of them come back and annihilate you. We've seen that happen. You have a void, you got to fill it with Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be done after we read Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. And this week, I want you to look up Romans 6:16, and I want you to read it over and over and over until you, next week when I ask you, what does it mean? You're going to be the first one to pop up and tell me. Are you there? Now listen to the verse. Know ye not, don't you know, he says, that to whom, it's a person, it's a living entity, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. Who are you obeying? His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Rick and Glenn, y'all each have a piece of paper. Please bring it up. And Spencer, you can be the unsuspecting Christian dupe. Okay? You can be the Christian sheep. It's as dumb as a box of rocks, okay? Now, and you're going to see what I'm saying. It's not you. I'm just showing you how dumb we are, okay? Now, here, you come over here, right here, okay? Now, I want you watching this. Don't miss it. Hold them up over your head, okay? Now, I'm going to talk you through it. We didn't, pre-plan it or whatever, okay? Everybody gets to choose one of these two. Everybody gets to choose one of these two to live in them and to lead them and to, how did that verse say? Obey. Who are they going to obey? Now they can obey Jesus or they can obey ABC. Do you know why I have ABC? Do you know what that means? I can't hear you. I'm sorry, what? Anything but Christ. And that's where most Christians live. Do you know that slow obedience is disobedience?
Yes.
Do you know what obedience is? Here's a key. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. If you're not doing what you're told, it's disobedience. If you're not doing when you're told, it's disobedience. And if you don't have the right attitude, it's disobedience. Do you get it? So, Jesus says, comes over and says, here, Christian, let me lead you this way. If he chooses to obey him, what's it say, Romans 6? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? If he follows Jesus, who's he obeying? I'm sorry, we got to do this all together. I get Carson back in here. I'm sorry. Are you ready? If he follows Jesus, who is he obeying?
Jesus.
Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin, sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to obey? They're both asking you, who are you going to obey? Your mom says, Spencer, before you just go somewhere, I know you're 18, think you've got the world by the tail and understand everything, and we're supposed to now stop the whole world and give you the crown, and you're the king of the world, okay? And you don't have to obey anymore. Parents now become servants, you know, and just have to just support your will, okay? I'm sorry, this way all 18-year-olds think. That's why they need to be put in a box when they're about 16, and then plug the hole when they're 18. Okay, now, you ready? You ready? Your mom says, Spencer, if you got a good mom, your mom says, Spencer, while you live at my house, there are rules. You don't obey my rules, you don't live in my house. You don't obey my rules, you don't live with me. Spencer, I want you to ask me if it's okay. You can make your plans and then come ask me. Don't come inform me.